Hello and welcome to the sixth episode of the I Brew My Own Coffee podcast, the podcast for people who care about coffee. I'm your host, Alex Carpenter, and this is going to be the last episode for 2014, considering today is New Year's Eve. So happy New Year's to everybody listening, and we would first off want to thank everybody for listening. It's been an awesome experience being able to talk with the people who we've had on the show so far, and we're excited for 2015 and growing the show even more. So thanks for reaching out on Twitter and Instagram and through emails. It really means a lot to us to hear your thoughts on the show. For this final episode of the year, where we actually talk with Brian Becky. He is, I found him through, I think, through Instagram as well. He is pretty active online, and he does a lot of coffee reviews on his site, abandonedcoffee.com. So we chat with him a little bit about how he got it started in coffee, and why he takes the time to review all the coffees. I found it to be a great resource if I'm looking for new coffees to get. He does a great job kind of explaining them all, and he uses different brewing techniques that he covers. So feel free to check that website out if you're interested in finding some new coffees for the new year. I'm pretty excited to have Brian's actually going to start reviewing coffee once a month on our site, and he'll be sharing a coffee he suggests through blog posts. So we're really excited to have him start doing that with us, and hopefully you guys get some good information from that. Without further ado, let's just get into the episode, and Happy New Year, everybody. Hey, Brian, how's it going?
Good. How are you about yourself?
I'm doing really well. Thanks for joining me on the show. And for the listeners out there, could you give a little backstory about yourself and what you do?
Sure. My name is Brian Becky. I currently work at a board game company called Plat Hat Games. And I'm just obsessed, I would say, with coffee.
Awesome. Yeah. So obviously, you said you're obsessed with coffee. When did that obsession for you start? When did you get into coffee?
I would say maybe 2 years ago. It was sometime around this time, 2 years ago, maybe. I had a few friends who were into pour over and specialty coffee and whatever. I didn't talk with them a whole lot, but I had those friends. And a new shop opened up in Cincinnati, Ohio. That's where I've lived. Where I previously lived for about 10 years, and all my friends kept going to it. Kept talking about, oh, cappuccinos are great, whatever. I wasn't really into coffee then. You know, I would maybe make a French press of, I don't know, something from Pete's Coffee or something like that. You'd get at the grocery store, but I went in there and I think they had Kuma probably at the time, and the local Cincinnati roaster, Deeper Roots, and I started realizing, I feel like I have a story similar to a lot of people about you had a natural processed coffee, and you're like, whoa, this doesn't taste like regular coffee, and you just start to think, you know, I wonder what else there is to explore.
Gotcha. So once you kind of had that first experience, what was the kind of first brewing experience that you started on your own? Did you get like a French press or any other type of device to start?
We had a French press, but I didn't use it a whole lot. So I think when I first kind of decided to take a leap, for my birthday sometime or August. So it was a while of just getting in coffees from better roasters. Like I said, Kuma Coffee, Bent Tree Coffee Roasters, various places. And we would just brew them before. So before I worked at this company I'm at now, I was working at a civil engineering company, and we had an old bun. So I would just grind it, a blade grinder or something, and throw it in this bun coffee machine. Mm-hmm. And it would taste better. It would only taste good for probably about 15 minutes, and then it started to taste really, really bad. But for 15 minutes, while it was at the hottest point, I thought, oh man, like there's some nice stuff to explore here. So uh-huh. I did that for a long time, and then I bought a Hario and a Chemex in the same purchase. I just said, hey, I'm going for it. I'm gonna get two brewing devices. And they're gonna make these extremely different cups of coffee, you know. So,
and then you're pretty much hooked from there.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I know you. You actually run a coffee blog where you. I see a lot of time you just review different coffees. How did that start?
So, as I was just drinking different coffees, I would catch myself trying to just feel my way through the cup, right? And I wanted a way to keep track of everything, so I just started making notes on my phone. I just had one general note page. I would type in the coffee and, you know, things that would come about. And I just figured an easy way to categorize that would be online, where I can click the archive button and see what I drank what month. And it's a pretty big leap from some of my earlier posts to some of my later posts. In my earlier posts, you know, I'd say maybe I only talked about it, making it one way, or a general overview of the coffee. But I just wanted a way to categorize it. And then I figured, well, since I'm in this digital space, if by chance anybody else would be interested in, you know, some sort of, some words strung together in relation to what this coffee was, that I could, you know, do a little intro, backstory of how I found that coffee or the roaster or whatever, and then kind of a summary of what it was. You know, a lot of people who review coffee have either a pattern similar or something. I just threw it together and figured it's a way that it helps me get out what I'm tasting, and then if somebody else finds it interesting, yeah, well, that works.
Yeah, for sure. So when you buy new coffees to review on your site, like, what does that process look like? Do you use different brewing methods to test it, or what does that process look like?
And I thought about trying to make it more like of a procedure, so people know, oh man, if I'm reviewing a coffee, it's going to be made these ways. And sometimes it's just more fluid than that. You know, I'll get a coffee in, and with me, I just know that there are different nuances in brewers, and I like to try and see if one makes the cup better. You know, it's not necessarily about bringing on various methods just to say that I did. It's kind of trying to figure out if something highlights elements of the coffee better, makes it, you know, a better cup. And if I found that cup, I'd try and see if it's repeatable. You know, if I find something that tastes really great on a V60, I'm probably going to make more brews of it on a V60. So it's just kind of exploring all that and trying to figure out how coffees play. And, you know, sometimes it's not much different. Sometimes there's kind of what I would say are big differences from cup to cup. And it just interests me.
Yeah. So let's say, like, on the bag, it says it has taste notes of chocolate and just earth tones. Is there like a specific brewer based off of that, or is that how you kind of choose a brewer, or what?
Yeah, I mean, I can. Sometimes I just jump in wherever. If I'm, you know, if it's something like that, I don't know. Sometimes it's however I'm feeling lately. You know, if I've been getting a lot of brews consistently in a device that have been coming out really nice, then that'll be my standard for a bit. Oh, I'm going to put it in this first to see how it does. For a while, whenever I'd brew on the V60, you know, I would say that was the truest flavor profile. You know, it's the most right in the middle. And then, you know, go to a Chemex if you want to bring out some brighter flavors, or go to an immersion method if you want to get some more of the low end, or, you know, a smoother cup or something. And so I kind of stuck with the V60 for a while, but now I've been messing with brew parameters and stuff a little differently. And I feel like I'm just over the last couple of days, I'm running into stuff where everything's out the window. There's just so much you could do, so many flavors you could pull out from just screwing around. And I know some people who think it's way too much fiddling, but to me, again, I just find it interesting.
Yeah, for sure. So when you're doing these reviews, I'm guessing you are definitely weighing things out. You're marking water temperatures and things like that. How much of an effect does that type of stuff play into it?
See, and I write it down because being someone who's not in the coffee business, I think my first inclination was, well, I work in an environment where I can't just up and leave my employer and start working in coffee. But I have a passion for it. I really enjoy it. It's something I find fascinating. It's something I would like to do someday. And so I just tried to detail whatever I can, whether it's important or not. I wanted to detail it because of, maybe I want to message a roaster and just give, if I was having trouble with a coffee or something, and I could just give them whatever information. Like I said, they could disregard anything, but the more I have, then the more I know, you know, and it's, so yeah, I write down the starting temperature of my kettle. I have a Bonavita variable kettle. So I write that down. I don't know how much difference that makes because I haven't really got to monitoring the brew bed temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And I know some people who are probably even further than I in tweaking, that's an important factor. And just some of my kind of short-term studies, I didn't notice a huge difference, but minor temperature changes, I noticed difference. So anyway, getting back to what you were saying, I write down my temperature. I write down my times of, you know, usually when I, how long of a bloom I did and, you know, what's the end time where it's cleared the brew bed. I try and record how much retention there was in the coffee. And that's not something that I ever really publicize, but I have it in my personal notes because that affects TDS and stuff. And I got a refractometer a couple months ago. And so, so I keep that so I can measure the extraction properly and, the grams in and, how much water I add. And yeah, it's mainly just so I used to work at an engineering company. I already said that, but just kind of, I guess being kind of a numbers guy with the work I had to do there, it was easy for me just to have to do a bunch of numbers when it came to brewing coffee.
For sure. So let's say somebody's just getting into coffee. They have a good experience about it. Maybe they have a Chemex or a V60, one of those two, and they get a coffee in. And like, how would they, I guess, dial in a coffee themselves? What's the best way to like figure out the optimal flavor to pull out of a coffee?
It's kind of, and that's where I was mentioning that just a couple of days ago, there's a lot of things that have been kind of shaking. It's hard to say. You know, when I think about going back to, some people would say it's all up to taste, and that's true. But it's also such a weird thing. I mean, I when I got my refractometer, I started trying to dial all my methods down to roughly a 16-to-1 ratio. And change brewing parameters and grind size and stuff to be that. But, you know, then the cups taste wildly different. And what I thought I thought that most of the coffees that I was brewing tasted good, you know, but I started realizing once I started tightening numbers and stuff, they started tasting better more often, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So more consistent. Right. Yeah. And so, you know, there's no right or wrong way to tell somebody how to do stuff, because just recently I'm messing with parameters of 13-to-1 with lower temperatures. I'm seeing stuff where if I start thinking too crazy about the TDS number, I'm like, oh man, this is gonna be too strong of a cup. It's gonna be way too hard to drink, and it's incredibly pleasing. And the same on the other end. Oh, the TDS is too low. Those aren't things that someone really has to, they don't really have to deal with to enjoy coffee.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's hard. It's hard for me to tell someone what to do, you know, because they could do whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because I personally, and this kind of hits on what you were saying earlier. I used to not really like coffees that were a little more heavily roasted or earthier coffees. And so I started realizing, me personally, if I would dose back the grams I normally would do, it would be a more subtle cup. Or if I used a lower brewing temperature, a lot of times I'd have less roastiness to the coffee. And so that's easier for me to drink. But somebody else might like that. You know, they might like rich, earthy notes in a coffee, and where I might like it better on a Chemex because it brings out, I don't know, something in the higher end. They might want to throw it in a French press because it gives them just a deeply satisfying cup. And that's fine.
Yeah, for sure. I think kind of what I usually tell people personally is when you're just starting out, you know, just kind of experiment. You know, there's these general guidelines that are all over the web that you can find, but kind of experiment beyond what they suggest or below. Right. Like, you got to figure out for yourself what you're going to like, and who knows, you might like something that is completely different than what they're suggesting. And right. That's not wrong. You know, you're brewing coffee because you like the taste of it, you know, and if you like something a little different than what everybody else is doing, then definitely just keep pursuing that and make it your own.
Definitely. And that's where, there's two things. There's nothing wrong mm-hmm. with looking up I do it all the time, looking up what somebody suggests for parameters, just as long as you know that you don't have to follow it, or you can exactly. use it as a guideline, like what you're saying. At the same time, you know, I'm kind of blessed with the fact that I can do these numbers. I can write down my notes. I do it intermittently. You know, I'll be drinking it. I'll be enjoying it. And I'll be, if there's a change, let me kind of just note this, because it's on my phone, so it's always in my hand. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't often take away from the experience of the cup for me. Now, with someone else, it might be different. And where I'm getting at with that is, you know, if somebody's getting really frustrated because they can't dial things in, I feel like at that point you could just tell somebody to kind of strip away from all that and just mess around. You know, don't feel like you have to be all about numbers. Don't feel like you have to be all about this. Just scoop some coffee in, put some water on it, and if it's not good, then change something.
Yeah.
And I forget who said this. I honestly don't know or where I heard it, but I think it was somebody who was prepping for a barista competition or Brewers Cup or something like that, or AeroPress Championship. I don't remember. But I guess in the morning, they would make a cup of coffee their normal way, right? Just whatever their standard way of making is. Mm-hmm. Then they would make a cup afterwards and they would change something. And if it was better than the first cup, well, then that's their new starting point, right?
All right, yeah.
And so you're constantly kind of changing and feeling out how things shape, because then the next morning you would make it whatever way is true, then you would change something, you know what I'm saying? And so you're constantly working to find something new, uh-huh. but also find refinement in what you've been doing.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing how much a coffee can taste different by doing different things. And I think that's, some days you might like the coffee brewed a different way and it's the same exact coffee, but it does have that variation that you could change from day to day depending right. on the mood that you're in. And that's kind of the fun part of it that I think I really enjoy about it.
Right.
All right. So we talked a little bit about that you have a blog that you talk a lot about coffees and review them. And I don't know if we mentioned this yet, but it's abandonedcoffee.com. And how do you go about finding these coffees? Is there like a kind of just you follow a bunch of coffee roasters online and there's a certain coffee blends that you like, or do you just kind of go at when a new shop comes out, you go for it and buy whatever they have?
I started at the beginning of this year trying to just feel out new roasters. So I feel like last year and going into the beginning of this year, I had a lot of Kuma and a lot of Madcap because I just really enjoyed both those roasters. And then when Ruby coffee roasters came out, I started getting into Ruby as well. I think all of this year, I was on both Craft Coffee and Mistobox subscriptions.
Gotcha.
And I just liked that they were offering coffees that I wouldn't normally seek out.
Mm-hmm.
So, I still do Mistobox, but I did stop Craft. But what I liked about that is I could then look at coffees I want to look at, you know, what's tailored to me, mm-hmm. but also still get coffees that were not necessarily tailored to me. So it's this weird thing. I started just writing about them, like I said, as I was exploring it, the blog mainly was explorative for me as trying to grow myself. My brewing parameters have changed throughout the beginning of the year. Like a ton of stuff has changed as I've just been exploring. But along the way, there are several roasters too who have, because of the blog, they've messaged me and say, "Hey, can we send you coffee?" And it was really weird at first to me because I didn't know what to do. And a lot of them, one thing I found important, I don't know, early on, mid on, I don't remember when it was, but I started trying to take better photos of the coffee.
Uh-huh.
Just kind of like as a product photo. You know, I'm not a photographer. I don't take super awesome photos, but I just wanted something like that just looked beautiful. If people are going to come to the site and they're going to look, mm-hmm. they're going to look at the page, right? They're going to look at the words. Mm-hmm. I wanted just to have a picture that also just looked nice for the product. So whether it was something I bought or something that was sent. And so people would say, "Hey, you know, we your blog looks nice. Can we send you some coffee?" And I never really asked, but it was always this kind of weird state of like, are you just sending me stuff? Am I supposed to like do a write up on it? But I mean, I'm drinking it and I do all these different brew parameters anyway. So most likely it's going to get on the site. Now we've had a lot of like personal life stuff happen the last little bit. So I'm a little bit backlogged, but all that stuff is, I mean, it's queued up. It's going to be trickling out over the next thing. But that's the kind of the difficulty with specialty coffee, though, is sometimes there's a window, right? And I'm like, well, I could post about it, but it's going to be like an archive. As mm-hmm. soon as someone sees it, they're not going to be able to order it. But it's still good information for me because I can go back and look at my thoughts anytime. But for someone else, because I think that could influence future purposes. You know, oh man, this coffee was so hot this year. I got to make sure I get it next year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, I feel like I've kind of run off from your original question, but yeah, I think you were asking how I go about selecting the ones that I write about.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So it's, you know, I do have a personal preference.
What is that personal preference, I guess, then?
This year, it's been the washed Ethiopians. So, like I said, when I first got on, it was naturals, and I thought naturals were really great. And then, for some reason, there came a point in time where I got one, and I was just like, ugh, no, I don't like this. And so, for a while, I was actually really adverse to natural processed coffees. And that kind of changed this year. Compelling and Rich coffee is, like, not afraid of naturals and semi-naturals at all. And his roasting profile and just like his attention to detail, I think kind of opened me up to being like, oh man, like natural coffees, they can taste really, really good. And yeah. I think probably a lot of selections were just really, really awesome this year.
Yeah, so for sure. I guess for the listeners out there who might not know exactly what the difference between a natural and a washed coffee is there like a 30-second explanation that you can give kind of to the listeners to kind of let them know what you're talking about there?
Yeah, it's so the coffee cherry, essentially, and I'm going to do a terrible job of this. Someone will break it apart, but
that's all right.
it's usually whether or not the outer layer of the coffee cherry is removed, you know, before or after washing and drying. So if it's kept inside of that, it's usually considered a natural process. And so a lot of times after the drying, it's supposed to have gotten a lot of more vivid flavors that have come from, you know, the cherry itself. The wash, they would have already been removed before it goes through the washing. And so they're cleaner, usually, like I say usually, because someone could obviously point me wrong, and they might have more complex characteristics. And so that's just a real quick.
Yeah, for sure. I think some people might not know exactly what that means. So that was good. Short explanation to help them get through that.
Right.
But, so you've done a lot of reviews of coffees this year. What are some of the ones that have stood out to you that you would be looking forward to next year as well?
Oh man. One that started off this year, and I was lucky to have it from a different roaster. I'm still finishing up the bag right now, was a coffee I got from Workshop Coffee in, they're over in England, I believe. I want to say London, but that might be wrong. But it was the Mahembe Rwanda. And, when I had that pretty early on in the year, and it was outstanding. it's a coffee that, again, like I said, I had drinking it recently from another roaster that, I feel like I'd do a terrible job pronouncing it because I've never heard it, but it's Jacobson and Smart. Huh. I'm part of another subscription called Cafe Box that does like Nordic coffee, Scandinavian coffees.
Oh, right.
And so it came in that. And that's that region. Rwanda is, I like coffees from there. I don't buy them a whole lot, uh-huh. but I enjoy them when I have them. I had a coworker at my last job who was from Rwanda. And so I'd like to just kind of sit down with him and we drink and he would talk to me about, you know, where if I pointed out where this was from, he would tell me, you know, what that part of the country looked like and stuff. It was kind of neat.
Awesome. That is cool.
Yeah. I've been on a kick of getting some geisha coffees in lately, which is dangerous to say because it's not something that is easy for just anybody to go and buy, you know, and pick up. But just right now, I'm drinking one from Verve Coffee Roasters that's just blowing my mind with how delicious it is.
Is that the one that just came in the tube?
Yeah, it's their green tip geisha, and awesome. I didn't know much about it before. I just I thought I remembered missing out on it last year, and so I wanted to get it this year. And it's just crazy. It's a crazy coffee to me. And again, I there are people who've had way more coffees than I have, and so you know they might try and be like, "Yeah, it's all right." But mm-hmm. to me, and just in my exploration, man, it's really good. Gosh, I had probably the best, we were just kind of talking about it, the best natural coffee that I had recently, and I think they were still offering it. It was from Spotted Cow Coffee, and it's their Wanago, Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm.
God, and that was really delicious, because I, again, to talk about the difference between natural and washed, I would generally say that naturals tend to be like a little bit more chocolatey and more like berry dense, like blueberry or strawberry or something like that, just like these dense berry fruits.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for a while there, like this blackberry and blueberry density in this coffee just kind of turned me off to it. But then through this year, I've been slowly trying some that have opened up into flavors that just had a lot more going on than that. You know, the sum was more than just berry chocolate. And this one, that one was one that definitely showed that to me. And I mean, I could go on. I don't know how many coffees you want me to talk about. There's a bunch of them that have just been really, really good.
No, I'll be sure to link up all those coffees that you're talking about in the show notes. But yeah, sure. Those are a bunch of good options for people. I know recently you posted a holiday gift guide on your site as well, covering right. A couple of different products in the coffee industry that you're suggesting. You want to talk a little bit about a few of those?
Sure. Yeah. So I just decided, you know, I figured there are some of my friends are kind of into coffee, and some people, you know, they want to get something for someone for coffee, but they don't know what to get. And so one thing that I found recently are these cups called Acme. And they're just like ceramic cups, and they're from New Zealand. And so some places are easier for them to get. They're in some cafes, mm-hmm. not all cafes, but I decided to get some in. I forget why. I just thought they looked beautiful. And man, I love these cups. I just love drinking them. I love pouring into them. Like I have a home espresso machine, so I love using them. I love everything about them. If anyone followed me on Instagram, almost every picture has Acme cups in it.
Gotcha.
I think they're great. And so that's on there. You know, if somebody wants to get somebody just a nice set of, you know, of mugs or something with a saucer, you know, if they can get those, you know, that's something that's excellent. I have on there little things for somebody who's into coffee. If they use like a Chemex, it wasn't until just recently I picked up a heat lid. Able Brewing makes a little like silicone heat lid that kind of plugs down inside of it to, you know, keep your your coffee from getting too cold just with that big open hole in a Chemex. So if you know someone who has a Chemex, you know, that's something small you can put in a stocking or just small wrap up, and it's super inexpensive that you can give to somebody.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things was just a local coffee shop, a gift card to a local coffee shop. Like my sister would always get my wife like a Starbucks gift card, which she would use. But you know, if someone were to give me, let's say, a Dunkin' Donuts gift card, like I might not use it. There's nothing wrong with getting somebody a gift card, but all I was saying is, if you can kind of feel out somebody that lives around you, you know, you guys have maybe a local shop that they'd like to visit. If it was in Cincinnati, I'd probably tell somebody, you know, Cheapside Cafe or Collective Espresso. If it's, you know, wherever it is, if you know of some local coffee shop that you know someone would go to, you know, that's a good way to shop local and to get them something that you know they're going to use.
Yeah, for sure. We have a big list of coffee roasters on our website. So if you have a relative that lives in a different state or anything, then you need to find a coffee roaster. You can check our website and hopefully find a place somewhere around them to get them a gift card or something like that.
And then the one thing on here that I feel like can't be stressed enough is filters. Like if anybody brews a lot at home, they may not be like me, but with me, I don't really think about what my stash looks like of filters until all of a sudden I'm like, oh dude, I don't have a filter to make this. So I have the privilege, I have tons of brewers, so it doesn't change. But if somebody's brewing like a Chemex and they run out of filters, yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
And it's something that, you know, they can keep in a package. If they don't get to them now, they might get to them later, and those are inexpensive too.
For sure. For, I guess, going off of that topic, what do you prefer, a paper filter or you use any metal filters?
I do. I use both. I was using paper for a really long time, if we're talking about the Chemex, and I still do. I like the paper filter, but I have an Able cone, and it's a reusable metal filter, and it took me a while to get used to it. Sometimes I don't like every coffee in it, but I've tailored my parameters to something that I really do enjoy. And so now I find I use it just about every morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I go back and forth. Again, it depends on the coffee. Like, and you said this earlier too, about a kind of a brewer. We're in a season now where there's a lot of coffees from Kenya and there's holiday blends. So there's coffees that are a little bit spicier and they have like a nice, like warming profile, I would say. And so I find myself using immersion methods a lot more. They're good with, you use them in a French press, you can use them in a clever coffee dripper, you can use them in an AeroPress, you can use them in a Chemex with a cone. Mm-hmm. You know, they lend well.
Yeah, so, and I guess kind of going back to the, given the gift of filters, the Able Brewing cone filter is great because if you do run out of paper filters, you have a good fallback that you know you can always have your cone filter there. Definitely. Just in case. I know that's what my wife won one in a competition one time, and nice. We were using it a little bit, but I like, both of us prefer to use a paper filter, but we have had that come times where we have ran out of paper filters and unknowingly, and then we were luckily able to have the Able Brewing cone filter.
But and there's some people that are the other way. You know, I have a friend who he just has, there's something against paper, you know, whether it's cups when he's out at a coffee shop or whether it's paper filter brewing, and it's just not his thing.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So yeah, there's always something for everybody.
Awesome. Well, Brian, I thank you for joining us on the show. And for the listeners out there, where can they find you online?
I am usually always on Twitter. And if you're talking about the website, it's abandonedcoffee.com. On Twitter, my handle is bbikey. And I'm on Instagram. Name subject to change, but right now it's LaSantaVille Coffee. LaSantaVille is the original name for Cincinnati, and so that's where I kind of got started, and that's kind of just been what I use under that. So between those three places, you'll see way more coffee information from me than you need. So
for sure. Well, I'll be sure to link those up in the show notes. And yeah, make sure you guys check out abandonedcoffee.com if you want to read a little bit more about different coffees. If you need suggestions on maybe some different coffees to try, I'm sure there is something you can find on the site. So thanks again, Brian, for talking with us.
Hey, thanks for having me and bearing with me talking about coffee for this long.
All right, take care.
See you.
Awesome.